Morning. Welcome to worship this morning. Ah, good to have you guys with us. You guys missed the show last night, didn't you? Yeah, your mom and dad really did a great job. You know, they say that talent skips a generation, though. Some of you don't know, we just had our Bethesda Jamboree Friday and Saturday night. We had more joy and more fun putting that on. And, yeah, thanks to the choir for bringing this to the community. We just had a really great time. A couple of announcements. I'm going to be leaving for 3 days of study leave, so they wanted me to announce that on Wednesday morning, Welka is going to be here. And at the Welka program, they've got a gal who's a parish nurse up at First Lutheran in Aiken doing hazardous waste and how to dispose of it. So that's something you're interested in. Mike, you probably could give that lecture, huh? How we destroy our environment and goes into the water system. And yeah. Why don't you come and hear what someone else has to say? Anyway, that's Wednesday morning. There's no Bible studies Wednesday morning. I won't be back till the afternoon. Other than that, I think all the sign. Oh, if you didn't get your annual report, annual reports are ready. In 2 weeks, we'll be having our annual meeting. Only one service on the 29th of September, 9 o'clock, and the annual meeting will follow. So it is duly announced. Let's begin our worship with a word of prayer. Oh Lord, we thank you for your love, and we thank you for your acceptance. We thank you for the joy that was experienced in this place these days. We pray that we might carry that joy with us every moment of every day. The joy of knowing that we are loved by you and cared for by you, forgiven by you. And so send your Spirit this morning to give us peace in our heart and joy in our soul. Well, we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to invite the choir to lead us this morning, and then we'll dismiss you with our thanks.
How great Ransom from heaven.
Fun. Thank you, Darwin. Thank you, choir. We've got a great choir, don't we? Yeah. Yeah, thank you so much. Please rise and let's join in singing our opening hymn. Please turn to your bulletins to the order of confession and forgiveness. We open our worship this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us confess. We confess that we live in a world of shattered dreams and broken promises. We confess that we use and abuse our world and the creatures of our planet. We confess that we are not willing to share the world's resources, but would rather keep them for ourselves. God of soil, water, and air, forgive our sinful nature and make us a new creation fashioned in your image. Hear the good news of the Creator's love. People of God's world, God is alive and at work in this world and the next. God's creative power continues to recruit love where there is hate and healing where there is hurt. Through Jesus Christ, all things were created. Through Jesus Christ, all creation is sustained. Through Jesus Christ, our sin is forgiven, and we are free to live as God's people. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. O God, overflowing with mercy and compassion, you lead back to yourself all those who go astray. Preserve your people in your loving care, that we may reject whatever is contrary to you, and may follow all things that sustain our life in your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated.
Today's first reading is from 1 Timothy. The letters to Timothy are called the pastoral epistles because they contain advice especially intended for leaders in the church. Hear the mercy shown to Paul, who once persecuted the church, is cited as evidence that even the most unworthy may become witnesses to the grace of God. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come in belief in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Today is Psalm 51. We'll read responsively, and where you see the bold R, please read the refrain. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. In your great compassion, blot out my offenses. For I know my offenses, and my sin is ever before me.
Against you only have I sinned, and done what is evil in your sight, so you are justified when you see, and right in your judgment.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Indeed, I was born steeped in wickedness, a sinner from my mother's womb. Remove my sins with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be purer than snow.
Let me hear joy and gladness, that the lie you have broken me rejoice.
Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my wickedness.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me.
Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. Please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel.
The Holy Gospel for this 17th Sunday after Pentecost is found in the 15th chapter of St. Luke. Jesus tells two stories that suggest a curious connection between the lost being found and sinners repenting. God takes the initiative to find sinners, each of whom is so precious to God, that his or her recovery brings joy in heaven. Now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near to listen to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes were grumbling and saying, "This fellow welcomes sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. Which one of you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders and rejoices. When he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one of them, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The word of God, the word of life. Please be seated as we sing our sermon hymn 608, Softly and Tenderly.
Thank you. tenderly Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner, come home.
Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Got a nephew who's a ranger in the army. He was telling me about a group that was out in Camp Lejeune doing night duty in the woods out there, and they got lost. Someone who was carrying the map lost the map. So they wandered around. They were lost, and they were wondering what to do. So the captain said to the bunch, well, we've got 1 in 360 chances of making the right choice. And one of the privates says, How do you figure that, 1 in 360 chances? And the captain says, well, there's 360 degrees on the compass. It's easy to get lost. The Week magazine this summer had a story about 86-year-old Anthony and 85-year-old Viola, his wife. They're in New Jersey. They had to go to the store. They get in the car, take the wrong turn, and they get lost. 800 miles later, two gas tanks later, they have an accident, and they tell the officer that we can't find our way home. So he leads them home. There are all kinds of ways of getting lost in this world. Today in our gospel lesson, out of Luke chapter 15, probably one of the most important chapters in all the Bible because it concludes three of the most famous parables Jesus ever told. Huh? Each of these parables deals with something that is lost, a sheep, a coin, and next week, I think we have this young man, the prodigal son's story. Lost sheep may have been nibbling on the grass and just kind of wandered away, like sheep have a way of doing. Young man rebelled against his father and goes to a far-off land and has a riotous life, indulges in all kinds of destructive behavior. And yet this story, we find out that Jesus, it doesn't matter to Jesus how those who were lost came to be where they are. All he cares about is bringing the lost home. I love how the chapter begins. It says, now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus. You could derive an entire sermon just around that phrase, huh? Tax collectors and sinners. These are people who are hungry to hear Christ's messages. Shows two things. First of all, tax collectors and sinners were really in need of some help. They were castaways. They were cast out. They were rejected. They were really the outcasts of society, the marginalized. They come to Jesus not out of curiosity or to just observe or to find fault with Jesus. They are in need of deep spiritual help. And so they find out Jesus is coming, and they go. Maybe he can help them. They needed a message of salvation. And the second thing is that they were acknowledging that need. That might be the most surprising part of this whole story. We've got a lot of people who need Jesus, but very few who acknowledge that they need Jesus' saving grace in their life. And so these are folks, the tax collectors and sinners. They were the tax collectors. They were traitors to both Israel and to Rome. They would unscrupulously take money for themselves, fix the books. Consequently, they were despised by the people. They were cut off by the people. They were shut out by the religious authorities. People didn't want to associate with these tax collectors and sinners. The sinners, they were the prostitutes and the thieves and the liars and the murderers. And because of their waywardness, they were also cast out, set aside, rejected by society. So when Christ comes preaching a deliverance from this sin and preaches hope in the kingdom of God, can you imagine being on the outside looking in? Family don't want you. Community don't want you. No one wants to deal with you. And Jesus comes along, says, I've got a message for you. God loves you. They go and find out what he has to say, because everybody wants to be wanted and needed. Everyone wants to have a meaningful life. So these tax collectors and sinners are gathering around Jesus, says Luke, and then I like what the text says next. He says, "But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.'" Think how different this narrative might be if we read that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law rejoiced in the fact that they were gathering around Jesus. These tax collectors and sinners were getting some help, were finding some joy, were finding a better way to get down, live day by day by day. That's really the way the story ought to read. But there's something dark in the hearts of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, just as there's something dark in the hearts of the sinners and the tax collectors. As I think about this, we shouldn't have any trouble understanding why the Pharisees and the teachers of the law rejected those people, because a lot of us are a lot like that. They weren't much different than you and me, I think. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law want to associate with people that have standards like themselves. People who share values like themselves. People who are like them. Nothing could be more human than that, to gather with people who are like you and have the same values. And that's the way it is with everybody in society. People want to stay in their own comfort zone. We don't want to go to some place where we're uncomfortable. But Jesus, today, he's reminding us, he doesn't want us to be all that comfortable. He won't allow us to stay where we're comfortable. He wants us to stretch ourselves and to care for the down and outers, the marginalized. And so he tells them these parables. Suppose one of you had 100 sheep and one of them wanders off. Won't you leave the 99 and go and find the other? And when you found them, the owner comes back and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you that in the same way there will be rejoicing in heaven over the one sinner who repents than over the 99 who stayed home. God likes it when the outcasts finally come around and say, "I need your help." Or suppose a woman has sent 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she tells all the neighbors, "I found my lost coin," which is probably a year's salary in those days. I tell you, there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. These two parables, and the one that follow, the one about the prodigal son, what they do is they define Jesus' mission in the world. This is what Jesus' mission was. Jesus came to save that which is lost. The question we have to ask is, are we lost? Are we wandering away like that sheep, or taking our inheritance, running away? Are we like that lost coin? A few weeks ago, we had the story of Jesus calling a tax collector to follow him, Levi, and Levi invites Jesus and others into his house. And then the teachers of the law again are saying, "Geez, eating with those tax collectors." And Jesus says, "It isn't the healthy who need the doctor. It's the sick who need the doctor. I haven't come to help the righteous. I've come to help sinners repent and find new life and new hope. And that's Jesus' target audience, huh? Everyone who's ever gone astray. In our lesson, the first lesson that Randy read about St. Paul writing to Timothy, he says, Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's the heart of the good news. That's the heart of the gospel. And why is that good news? Because we're all sinners. Tax collectors and murderers and prostitutes are sinners. Pharisees and teachers of the law are sinners. You and I are sinners. You know what our problem is? We look at ourselves. This is my problem. Maybe it's yours. I think, you're not such a bad guy. You're a pretty good guy. You like people. You try and bring hope and love and peace and joy and adventure and laughter. I tell myself, I'm a pretty good guy, but man, you don't know my black heart. How about your black heart? There isn't anybody here who isn't fighting something or questioning something or doing something. Even good people aren't all they could be, aren't all they're cracked up to be. I mean, I think of St. Paul, the 8th chapter of Romans. Paul, who's a great, great Christian. The good that I would do, I don't do, and the evil that I don't want to do, that's what I do. He's at a quandary. The Bible's full of people like that. I mean, Abraham, who was the founder of the Hebrew people, who's far from perfect, he was willing to trade his wife into Pharaoh so that he could save his own life. Jacob, who found favor with God, and his name was changed to Israel, because you know what Jacob means? It means a conniver, a trickster, a supplanter of power. My wife named my kid Jacob. Oh, man. I call him Israel. Israel, by the way, do you know what Israel means? It means wrestler with God. Wrestling with God. And that's what Jacob did. And then God says, you're not Jacob anymore, you're Israel. And hasn't Israel, the country, wrestled with God since the beginning of time? David was a man after God's own heart, the Bible says. But David, he was an adulterous murderer who led Israel. Peter, Jesus' closest disciple, closest friend, denies him 3 times. Even St. Paul, when he's talking to Timothy in our lesson today, he calls himself the chief of sinners. So be careful when you're telling yourself, you know, you're a pretty good person. Because deep down, there's something in each one of us that would lead us astray. And so, we can see why Jesus rejoices over one who repents. Repent, that repent is a, I don't like that word. Because I something etched in my mind as to some, remember those cartoon characters, guy wearing a long robe, long beard, and he's got this big sign that says, repent now, with the idea that if you don't repent, you're going to be condemned to hell? Repent just means change. Change your thinking. Change your attitude. Change your life. Change those things that are leading you astray, that make you think you're better, or you've got it all together, or you've got to have the most toys, or all that stuff that keeps you from giving yourself to God. That's what's happening here. We're the lost sheep that's gone astray, you and I. And heaven's going to rejoice when we finally say, you know what, I ain't got it all together and I need God's help. That's why Jesus is telling this story. Billy Graham was once asked, what people give you the most trouble? You know what he said? He looked into the camera, closed in on him. He said, I've had more trouble with Billy Graham than any other human on the face of the earth. Yeah, I knew what was going on. Jesus wants us to care for our brothers and sisters who are lost. He wants us to care for them as much as he does. How much does he care for them? Every bit as much as he cares for you or me. He loves his creation unconditionally. Absolutely. He loves everybody. There was an article in the 1965 edition of Life magazine. There was a Lieutenant Dawson who went missing in action, was shot down doing reconnaissance over Vietnam. His brother, when he heard that his brother had been shot down, he sold everything he had. He left $20 with his wife, flew over to Vietnam, and for 9 months went through the jungles, handing out pictures at risk of his life until he finally got confirmation that his brother had died in one of the camps. He went looking for his brother. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, took great pride in their righteousness. They were so good. They looked very diligently to keep themselves looking at the top of the heap. Jesus wants them to reach out to the sinners. Jesus wants us to do the same, to embrace those who have wandered to the far country as if they were our long-lost brother or sister. That's how he wants us to look out there for. One last story. The pastor, John Yates, tells the story of a heartbreaking image he saw when he was watching TV a couple years ago when there was that tsunami that hit Japan. Maybe the most heartbreaking of all were the scenes of the mothers and fathers weeping over their lost children. And this is what he wrote in this article. He says, "I can't get out of my mind the image of one gentleman who, having lost his parents, his wife, his three children, after nearly 3 weeks of searching, hope against hope, he found his youngest daughter, a three-year-old girl. She'd been rescued and sheltered and was safe against all odds. The joy and the uncontrollable sobs of delight and gratitude were caught by a cameraman. It was deeply moving," he wrote. Can you imagine that? Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and one of them wanders off. Doesn't he leave the 99 and go into the open country to find the ones that's lost? Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins, a year's salary, one of those coins, and she loses one. Won't she turn the lights on and sweep the place? And when she finds it, won't she rejoice? We're all sinners. We're all that lost coin or that lost lamb. And God celebrates when we come home. Imagine, you know, bottom line is, can you imagine the sinners, the tax collectors, and those who are marginalized, those who had to do anything to stay alive, people who we'd call sinners, can you imagine them being rejected by family, being rejected by the government, being rejected by their communities, being told, "You're no good, we don't want you around, you got nothing going for you, you're a drain on society." And all of a sudden, Jesus comes and says, "I love you, and I need you, and I want what's best for you, and I'll help you, and I'll care for you, and I'll never leave you. I'll always be by your side, and I want to be a part of your life." Wouldn't that make you feel okay? Hey, maybe someone does want me. Someone does need me. Maybe I'm not the dregs of life. Maybe I have something to offer. That's what he's saying to us. And then he's saying, "You be my hands in the world. Go out and help those and care for those who are marginalized." That's what this is all about. We're all in this together, huh? Something for us to ponder this day as we seek to live our journeys out on earth. Amen. God's peace and love be with us now and always. This time we'll invite our ushers to receive our morning offering. Please rise. Let's join together in praying the offertory prayer on the top of page 4. Let us pray. Holy God, gracious and merciful, you bring forth food from the earth and nourish your whole creation. Turn our hearts toward those who hunger in any way, that all may know your care. And prepare us now to feast on the bread of life, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. With the whole people of God and Christ Jesus, let us pray for the church, those in need, and all of God's creation. Let's take a moment for silent prayer. Holy God of reconciliation, pour out your mercy upon us when we stray to ways of sin and disobedience. Turn us back to you and fulfill your righteous covenant. Hear us, O God. Shower the earth with abundant water, especially where there is drought and clean drinking water is scarce. Refresh all people with flowing rivers and springs. Hear us, O God. Send your spirit of forgiveness and renewal to all families, communities, and nations. Reconcile us to one another as you have graciously reconciled us to you. Hear us, O God. Seek out those who struggle on their own with illness and despair. We especially remember in our prayers Evie Richter, Ron Hass, Mary England. We remember those in our lives who need your healing touch, who we name in our hearts before you. join yourself to them, bear their burdens, and lift them up to find hope and strength in you. Hear us, O God. Accompany refugees, displaced persons, and all who wander without homes. Shelter them from all enemies. Give them stability through others sent to serve them. Hear us, O God. We thank you for the joy that filled this building these last few days. Thank you for the choir, for the gift of music, for all who participated in the jamboree and came to enjoy it. We thank you, Lord, for family and friends who you have surrounded us with. Allow us to keep our eyes and our hearts open to those who have wandered away, that we might share your love with them. Be with all the children in school these days. Be with their teachers. Grant them patience. Be with Ellen Berman and her family as they mourn the loss of Clarence. And walk with us this week. Encourage us and strengthen us to do your will. Living God, your mercy transforms us. Speak to us through the lives of the saints, and use our lives to proclaim the healing power of your salvation. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, O Holy One, we entrust all for whom we pray, confident in your abundant and abiding mercy, through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's join in confessing our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. And so we gather at this holy table, ever mindful of this being Jesus' last meal. At that last meal, he took bread, broke it, and gave it to all the disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of your sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's join together in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. All are invited to come forward to receive the bread and the wine. If you prefer grape juice, it is the lighter liquid in the dipping bowl. So I'll hand you the bread, and please dip in the wine or the grape juice. If you are gluten intolerant, let me know, and I will be glad to serve you that bread. I'm going to ask Smokey, would you help me serve communion? We'll start with this side and follow by this side. You can be seated. Please rise. The body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and preserve you unto everlasting life. Amen. Let's join together in the prayer after communion. We give you thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the healing power of this gift of life. In your mercy, strengthen us through this gift in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. For the sake of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever.
Amen.
Go forth into the world to serve God with gladness. Be of good courage. Hold fast to that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. Strengthen the faint-hearted. Support the weak. Help the afflicted. Honor all people. Love and serve God, rejoicing in the power of the Holy Spirit. Our closing hymn is Amazing Grace. Let's sing the first, second, and last verse.